Technophobies.
So welcome back to the Technophobies. The first thing I have to say, the most important thing, is for one guy on this call for 25 years, he's worked in one organization. So Mark, congratulations on your 25, quarter of a century work anniversary. How's it been?
It's very odd. I was up in Bristol, so I wasn't actually far away, and I'd been to a customer in Bristol, and I'd come out of that meeting. It was quite warm, and I had a suit and tie on, so that was the first time in a long time, and ended up in a subway in Filton, Bristol. And some of you know what Filton, Bristol's like, and no disrespect to anyone listening to the podcast who is from Filton, because there are nice areas. I've just never seen them. But I ended up in a subway in Filton, and logged up with a meal deal, £7.83, and a meal deal. And then I realised, because obviously Christian Klein has sent me an email saying, congratulations, it's your work anniversary. So that's when I realised it was the 25 years. So, 25 years. Weird, eh? You know?
Do you remember your first day?
Hang on, one at a time. Who's that? Say again, over.
What's does that, it Jim? Feel like 25 years?
No, not really. And I think it probably, if you think back, it doesn't seem 5 minutes ago that Sean and I were doing weird demos up in Lincoln. And no, it doesn't feel like 25. How long have you guys been here then? Now, that's the longest I've ever been anywhere for sure. But it doesn't feel like it at all.
I joined in 99, so is that a year after? Sorry, go Michelle. You go.
Apologies. So I've been at SAP twice at this organization, 3 years each time. The longest I've been at any organization, though, was a city here in Colorado, altogether over 20 years as city manager and a CIO. And it went fast. That's why I asked.
It does go fast. And Sean, you're not far behind that, are you?
No, 1999, so November 99. So this, I think, is a year, 2 years later than you. So I'm catching up.
Yeah.
But I remember my first day. You know, the first day. Do you always remember your first day in the company? And I had an old Daimler. It was quite an old Daimler car. And I was driving it from somewhere in the middle of England. And on the way to the office, to my first day, I started hearing this noise, like clunking noise, crashing noise. I thought, oh no. It was like a John Cleese moment. I wanted to get out and thrash the car. I said, just get me to the car, get me to the job, get me my first day so I'm not late. And I got, there was a garage next to the SAP offices, parked it in the garage, went in, was on time, everything. And I promised myself that day, I'm never going to drive it again. And so I went that evening to a great trade center, kind of big car supermarket in London, and bought myself a Toyota Land Cruiser and sold that car that same day. But I remember, what about your first day? Can you remember it?
Because I just finished my 25th anniversary spent in a suit and tie, right? My first day proper, really, which was when I turned up in Germany. Of course, I put a suit and tie on. And we all know that's not the de rigueur in Germany. So it's the smart, tidy Brit. And I had my leg pulled, should I say, by my new German chums. that was my first day.
You should have worn a hat, Mark. You should have worn a European hat.
I should have worn a bowler hat, shouldn't I, really?
Yeah, really.
Is that what you wore? So did you wear that on your first day, Jim? Did you wear that on your first day, a hat?
No, I didn't. I wore a smile, Sean.
Can you remember your first day at SAP then?
Yeah, it was the 4th of July, 2016.
Independence Day.
And I went to our offices in London near a big airport. And yeah, it was, I can remember day one. Yeah.
I met you first time in Paris, Jim, if you remember.
I remember that. It was not so romantic.
No.
So it's a while since we've caught up. I think it was April, seems like only yesterday, and we've been traveling a lot. So, I mean, we did Sapphire in Madrid. I know you did the Netherlands, which is great, seeing customers again. lots of interaction, you know, lots of great speeches. Then I hosted a customer for a week in Waldorf. Then I hosted a customer in Berlin. Then I went to the UAE. Then I've been to South Africa, and it's been crazy. What about you, Jim? Have you been on your travels?
Yeah, I like to try and get the rhyme, the rhythm right. It was The Hague, then Prague, then Hamburg.
Yeah, then Hamburg.
Yeah, and then lots of places in the UK, which has all been relatively straightforward, apart from the horrendous process of going through an airport. I won't ask you about losing bags, Sean.
It is. Everyone rolls their eyes, can't they? Everyone rolls their eyes. But I mean, I arrived at Abu Dhabi 2 a.m. 3 weeks ago, no suitcase. 3 weeks later, it turns up at my house, no information. The phone numbers they give you doesn't work. The email, they don't work. There's no one answering the phones. No one knows anything. The infrastructure in airports and airlines is gone, hasn't it? They just can't recruit enough people. It's just broken.
When I came back from Hamburg on a Friday night coming into London Heathrow, there was one guy on passport control, and that was it. And all the e-gates were shut, so there's about 40 e-gates. And I said to the guy, fortunately I'd kind of pushed through quite quickly, as you learn to do as a seasoned traveller. It's called the airport walk, if anybody's familiar with it, which means get out of my way. And I just said to him, I was very polite. He said, well, unfortunately, we haven't got any staff and the e-gates can't be open because if anything happens, I can't leave my post. So literally 400 people were in a line for this one poor guy who was checking us all through passport control.
I mean, I enjoyed traveling again, but at one point I was traveling every week for about 5-6 weeks. And then I realized how unproductive it is. So it's great to see customers. It's great to do the workshops. You know, we've had some teams get together, the boards, and it really is fantastic. But you lose so much productivity. Have you been traveling a lot, Michelle? And how's it been for you?
Yeah, so it's been crazy here in the US. I think every time I go to the airport, I feel like it's a holiday. Nobody told me about it because there's so many people there. I heard on the news they're calling it revenge travel because people are wanting to get back out after the pandemic. And so everyone's traveling right now. But I've traveled, I live in the center of the US, more or less, Midwest. And I traveled to Washington, D.C. for meetings there. And we actually had a federal forum, which was awesome. Had some great customers speaking. And it was at the Audi soccer field. So football in your guys' term. So that was fun to see the new field and get to meet a couple of the players. And yeah, that was a great time. And just spending time with customers, like you said, and seeing peers you haven't seen in a while. Then from there, I jetted the other way across the country to San Francisco, California. And I was at an event called Cloud Wars Expo. And so that was interesting too, to do a battlefield about public sector and what, you know, the trends are and what customers are needing and wanting after the pandemic against all your competition, right? So we're waiting, I think today, actually the 20th, to hear how everyone did and what the scores came out from our presentation. So that was fun. And then just before that, I went on personal travel. So I flew up to Vancouver, Canada, and got on a cruise ship and cruised all the way up to Anchorage, Alaska, and that was fabulous. Best vacation, top three ever, I think. So I've been zigzagging.
How long did you go for, Michelle, on the cruise?
8 days.
Okay.
Did you get your sea legs?
Yeah, I never knew if I'd be seasick or not on a big ship like that. Was prepared, but I'm one of those people that's out in the storm when the boat's going like this and the swimming pool water's splashing out of the pool and I'm sitting there reading the book. So that part doesn't bother me for some reason. So it's all good.
Nerves of steel, they would say.
Yeah, fortunate. The sea calls me. I don't know why I live in the middle of the country, but the sea does call me. And next week I go to Toronto. I'm excited to meet with customers up there and have some fun conversations and get some planning done.
What kind of vibe are you getting from customers? What are they kind of, when you're talking to the customers, I mean, what is it? It's great to have the interaction, but what are you hearing? What are they saying about, you know, what they're doing?
Well, a lot of them, at least in the US federal space, are getting back to work. They've been working from home, but now they're they have a mandate to go into the office every so many days. And so some of the projects in some of the cities also were stopped. Apologies.
It's okay. It's real. We're live.
I'll just have to go with it.
Somebody's hungry. Somebody's hungry, eh?
I think it's Amazon. So there you go. Yeah. But they're actually getting their funding back. So we had a big project for East Coast City that was doing a lot of procurement. Proof of concept underway, everything else. And then at the pandemic, their city council pulled the funding. So it's literally ready to turn on and they pulled the funding. So they're starting over and doing some things. But we're seeing a lot of conversations of people trying to get big projects started and things going in technology, which is fun. I think they're just excited to see everyone in person, so yeah, everyone's talking.
I think that's really good. I mean, in-person stuff is so important. Yeah. And I kind of, when you do these events like we did Sapphire and there's 600,000-800,000 people in Madrid and you've got people speaking on stage and you get the energy, it's the energy of that crowd, the energy of the speaker, that they feed off each other. Sorry, Mark, you were going to say?
No, I just chipping in on that. We did a big presentation to a customer on Monday, and it was important enough for us to physically get together on Sunday. That's always a bit of a pain, but the difference in doing that, dry running it together, we're all cramped in a hotel room. It was sweaty and horrible, going into the customer, it was a 80, 90 person crowd and a very strict timescale. We wouldn't have been able to have delivered it as well as we did had we not done the practice and been together for a couple of days. That was really important.
You neglected to tell the Hamburg story, Mark.
Yeah, tell us about Hamburg, Jim.
Well, again, it was great because we went to an event and there was probably 700 people there from all across Europe and further afield. In fact, some from New Zealand. And Mark and I did a workshop. We did our usual prep. We tried to be engaging, entertaining, relevant. And at the highlight was at the end of it, unbeknown to me, a lady from the event came up to Mark and said, "Oh, really, really interesting. Yeah, I love how you guys are talking about how public sector can use data and that you've done a real project and it wasn't all about what software you've got, it was about the business outcomes. But I do have to say, as somebody living in Scotland, you shouldn't refer to Scotland being an integral part of the United Kingdom. That's just inappropriate." Fortunately, she said it to the non-Scottish person.
I just said, go speak to him, it's his fault.
Well, the irony was she wasn't Scottish. And as far as I'm aware, Scotland is in the United Kingdom unless somebody's not sent me the memo.
Did she back away when you started talking, Jim, realising your heritage is from there?
No, well, for the purposes of safety in the workplace, this story was told to me at some point later in the day, Sean.
One thing about travel etiquette, we do see busier airports sometimes, but I see a different set of behaviours. People no longer on conference calls in queues. I don't take calls in taxis anymore. So I kind of feel that people are trying to balance when they travel, sensibly. In the past, it was crazy, wouldn't it? You hold a line in a security queue and there's 10 people on the phone on conference calls. Do you think the etiquette's changed?
I think it's changing, Sean. Actually, Jim and I, we did our mental health. We're mental health first aiders now.
Yeah.
It's a bit dangerous.
Anybody listening to the podcast, if you need support, come and speak to Jim and Mark.
Yeah.
We're here for you. We can create a safe space.
Notice they are not qualified psychologists, psychiatrists, or counsellors. So,
we're not very good. But we'll have a look. We'll have a chat.
Yeah, we'll listen.
Come into my caravan anytime.
We'll listen.
But one of the points, if you remember, Jim, that was being discussed was that balance as you do start going out, having respecting each other's new pattern of work. If you are on the road for a day, you're not going to be able to do 7 conference calls. And the other thing I will never do now, that's it, it's game over, is take calls in the car. You know,
your mind needs that time, call, doesn't it? What you've realised in lockdown,
it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I know you realise now. You do, but you realise now how dangerous it was in the past when you do conference call after conference call in the car. And I think again, that's all down to respecting each other's time. You know.
So Sean, is your hypothesis that the reset button's been pressed?
It might change, but I think people are taking more of their time on business travel, so they're trying to balance up. I certainly, when I traveled 5 or 6 weeks out of 7, I had very little productive time to catch up with you know, doing quality stuff, and also had very little me time, you know, because you're in a taxi. And so I think people are trying to reconcile, you know, moving back to a semblance of normality, but not having all the extra stress and activity around, you know, being in a taxi in a conference call, wheeling your bag and trying to dial in with your one other hand the passcode. You know, I think people are trying to balance it a little bit more, and I think that's a good thing.
Isn't there a word for that now? Are people going on workcations or something? You know, you go away. If you go off on a work trip, if you go on holiday, you should mix a bit of work in there. I've heard a term for it. Can anyone remember what that was?
I think you've just invented that, Mark. So do you have an impending holiday, Mark?
I'm warning you that there wouldn't be no work on my vacation, you know?
Well, I like what you guys brought up. You talked about one thing you'll never do, Mark. So what about Sean and Jim? What's one thing you won't do anymore after the pandemic and travel? I won't wear high heels anymore. Just done. We're done with that.
Really?
Fashion. Silliness. Especially when traveling. Yeah, no. Not happening.
Same for me, Michelle. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, after the suitcase issue, I'd say don't take a big suitcase. But if I'm going to go for a week, I can't survive on a little wheelie bag. So my wife always says, you know, why are you going big? Yeah, well, I go big if I'm going big, and then I have multiple things. But I kind of think the suitcase thing, what I realized is how disruptive it is to your week. If you've got a few clothes and you have to go to the shops, but of course, if you buy a decent suit or a decent shirt, the airline won't reimburse you that, because they'll say, oh, that's not. So it's a very stressful thing. And I realized the lack of a suitcase is kind of very disruptive to my travel. So maybe I'm gonna have a bigger wheelie bag in future that allows me to survive 3 days, not just one day.
Well, which is why, Sean, as I said earlier, as I am going on holiday in about 45 minutes, I'm not taking a suitcase at all, because I'm going to wear everything there.
How long are you going to be gone?
10 days. 10 days.
Where are you headed to, Mark?
Antigua. Layer off every day, or what?
Yeah. I had a friend who went on a stag weekend. He was the stag, and they told him just to turn up in undergarments and a vest. So he wore 5 pairs of undergarments in the UK, pants, but that means something else in the States. And he just basically took off the T-shirt and the pair of pants every day, and didn't go with any luggage. Went with a toothbrush.
Well, was he on Ryanair by any chance?
Yes, he was.
I had a friend once who was
to Malaga. They went to Benidorm.
I had a friend once who was on holiday. I think he was on holiday in Greece, and he was a police sergeant. And he and his family were going on a day trip to an island, but they got on the wrong ferry. It was like a long voyage ferry for truckers, and they got on it by mistake. And they ended up on this ferry for 2 or 3 days into some other foreign country. with two kids, him and his wife, with only the day trip stuff. And it took him, I think it was 4 or 5 days to get back. He said they had nothing. I don't know where he ended up, but he kind of always remember that story. I had a work colleague.
That's brilliant.
Sorry, go on, Jim.
So go on, Sean, go on. No, on you go.
It's always interesting about holidays, isn't it? The things that happen to people. I had a work colleague who went to New Zealand with his family, went camping in the evening, so set up the tent in the evening, him and his children and his wife, and then in the morning he woke up and went to get a wash at the wash area, and no one had any clothes on. And by mistake, he and his family had gone, and it wasn't me, it was like, he and his family had gone into a nudist reserve,
yeah.
And everyone was very angry with him, so he and his family had to, you know, George in. See, you'd ended up by mistake into this nudist colony, so the naturist reserve.
I think that was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard, and the fact that I'm not even going to say what nationality was, but because he paid for it in advance, he wasn't going to lose any money, so he was going to give it a go.
Can I just say he wasn't Scottish? Before you so going back to your question, Michelle, one thing I'm not going to do, which I have done recently, is end up in a mosh pit, which I did at the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I ate for about a week. I think it was worse than COVID. But it was it was great. We've been to see Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Chemical Brothers. So that's been great. And then we went to our company's celebratory 50th last weekend in a very beautiful location on the Thames. And there's a band there called Scouting for Girls. I'm not a massive fan, but what I have to say is they made such an effort to just engage with the crowd. You know, they basically had it was like a half concert, half kind of interview panel sort of thing. They were asking us things, what are you like, what should we do, and then they were telling us their life story and how they'd met when they were 15 and they'd been together 15 years, and then they said, "On, and here's a new guy in the band, he's been here 14 years, he's still just joined us." But it was great, and it was great, again, it's back to the point, as you said, Sean, to see everybody
yes.
in person and to connect with, even just to have a drink with somebody and ask them how are they doing, what have they been up to. You know, and get away from this kind of weird digital thing that we live in now.
Well, on the Abu Dhabi trip, I also went to Dubai, and we had one day with some work colleagues, and we were doing a bit of a paper on the decade of disruption and the mission to the metaverse, and so, and we said, let's get together and let's sketch out some of the ideas we have that we'd had online, and we went into this room, and everyone would have the laptops up, and we sat around, and I said, this is not going to work. So I said, let's go to the design thinking room. It was free. We went down there. We pushed all the desks out. It's a wall-to-wall writing boards. I gave everyone a pen, and we just spent the whole half day, you know, we did 2.5 days, talking about the topic, and the ideas changed. The way we were going to interpret something changed. The kind of, we took pictures of everything, and it was so fantastic to have that kind of sparking off everyone's idea. And I think that's so important. Just another travel story while we're here. So a few weeks ago, we were in Valdorf. We had a customer spending a week of workshops in Valdorf. Really good. We had like 20 odd speakers. And my experience as somebody who sits in these workshops with customers, you learn so much as an individual on the topic, the products, because when you're active listening, you're listening. But anyway, we said we'd arranged to go for the day to Munich to do a customer reference visit. So we got on the train at Heidelberg about 7 a.m., got almost there, and then there was an accident on the railway line, so the train stopped for three and a half hours. So we were supposed to get to Munich about 12, do the visit from 12:30 till 3 or 4. We arrived at Munich by about 3:30, and we had a return train at 5, which we couldn't change. So we spent the whole day going to Munich, had one thing to eat, got back on the train and went all the way back to Heidelberg, arriving at 10:30 at night. So it was one of those days where you spent the whole day on the train with not very good internet connection. It was pretty hot, finding things very unproductive. So I like the customer, we did teleport, don't we? Because I like the customer meetings. We should be teleporting there, not flying or training.
Yeah, there's a similar analogy in the Tour de France, really. I was watching a documentary about it, and Miguel Indurain, his resting heart rate was 28. And then some of the guys in the new stages, whose resting heart rate now, just before the tour, is let's say 40 BPM, but it goes up to as high as 200. And the one critical factor in the Tour de France is sleep. Mm. You know, it's if can you get 7 hours of sleep a night or 8 hours of sleep? And then they talk about, they do the race, they do the, obviously they've got to do the post-race conference, and then they all get in buses. And I'm just thinking, well, wouldn't it make sense from a marginal gains point of view to helicopter your top three riders from point A to point B rather than put them on a bus for four hours? And I'm just surprised that nobody's kind of thought of that idea, because those three or four riders could get an extra 3 hours a night sleep.
Yes. Yeah, the optimal games.
Which in ultra elite sports events, you need as much sleep as you can possibly get.
I'm just amazed they were at resting heartbeat. Mine's 63.
28, Miguel Indurain, closely followed by Chris Froome, who was 29.
So what happens to you, Mark, after 25 years? After 25 years in SAP, you get a faster pulse rate, do you, Mark?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is 63 okay, Jim?
It's fine. Yeah. I'm about 56. Yeah, 63.
You're a big cyclist,
okay.
Jim, mate.
Is that why you're asleep? Well,
when I'm asleep.
Well, I was, Sean, but stupidly, as you know, I embarked upon a career of academia for the last year.
Are you?
Which I'm not going to moan about because it was self-inflicted.
You're nearly there, man. You're nearly there. Are you going to have some vacation?
But we got to the final.
Sorry, go ahead.
We got to the final of the. We got to the final of the. We did a. I managed to convince the three other guys in the team to do a public sector business plan, which was really alien to them because they were all. One of them worked for a company, AKA the Death Star. You might know who that is. Another one was from our company, and then there was another guy who'd been a developer since he was 17, and they're all. They've never touched public sector, so this was a whole new world, and I came up with an idea of something really to help the around the refugee crisis. So between us, we had to create a vision for a business plan, and between the four of us, pitch our idea. So that was quite fierce, but we managed to go with my idea and a lot of hard work to get it. We submitted it, and we got 5 out of 5, which was great.
Excellent.
But what that means is we now get in the final, so we can win a cash prize, which we can spend on anything, which would be great. But we can also get startup investment funds if we then want to bring the business to life. So we're super enthusiastic.
What wins the final then? When's the final?
Jim, if
well, it's tiered, so they're currently evaluating the 20 or so that got top marks, and then they'll shortlist that down to 10, and then you do a bit of a Dragon's Den pitch.
Okay.
And then they bring in kind of venture capitalists and experts to review your pitch, and then by the end of this year, the winner will be selected.
Oh, best of luck, Jim. You'll have to let us know how that goes.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I've Jim's promised me if he wins and then he goes takes this to market and becomes a millionaire, then he's going to hire me as his cleaner.
Yes. And I'll give you some shares.
That's what I want, shares.
It's...
So I've got 2 shares at the moment, haven't I? Booked.
Yeah.
He's going to be a philanthropist.
But he could be worth a lot. But as you know, Mark, I am 2 million short of being a millionaire at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, someone won the lottery the other night, didn't they? So £195 million. So, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You need to buy a ticket, Sean.
Yes, you do have to buy a ticket.
195. That person now becomes. Higher up the rich list, one higher up the rich list than Tom Jones. Did you realise that?
It's not unusual, no.
It's not unusual. What's new, pussycat?
Well, okay. We're talking about Delilah.
Oh, no. Hey.
If you won 195 million, would you go public?
Absolutely not.
I would go away.
Yeah. Get lost in the world.
I would completely non-digitalize.
7 out of the last 6 big winners have all gone public, which I think is
okay. Bonkers. How can 7 out of 6 have done it, Mark?
Oh, sorry, 7 out of 8. Sorry, 7 out of 8. Whatever.
He's making that up.
It was the top. I'm on. Brain's closing down already.
You're in holiday mode. Yeah.
Yeah. These people go public, and I think you're mad. You know.
Yeah.
Why would you do it?
So, on that topic, who's got a holiday planned?
I'm a holiday from next week. I'm not going anywhere. We kind of got friends coming, so sort of see, get familiar with home. Are you heading anywhere, Jim?
We are trying to go to Croatia. But there's a funny story there. The last time I went to Croatia, the war broke out and I was evacuated while I was there. And it was one of the best holidays of my life. And literally, they just woke us all up in the middle of the night and said, grab all your stuff, get in a coach and get out of Dodge. And we were driven straight to the airport. There was tanks everywhere. And we were flown back to the UK. And I was really miffed because I still had a week left of my holiday. And I think under clause 4.9.6.7, acts of war means you don't get an insurance payout.
Are you heading anywhere, Michelle?
True.
So this is going to be it.
We're either going to go, we have a houseboat on one of the lakes in Utah, in the US, at Lake Powell. We'll either go there, which is fabulous. It's just a great way to get away. The lake itself is about 110 miles long.
That's big.
And so you can really get lost in its beautiful red rocks and beaches, and yeah, it's awesome. Or I have my good college buddies are coming in from New Zealand for 3 weeks. So if they want to go do something else, I'll go do something else with them instead of going to Lake Powell. But yeah, no big travel plans. Alaska was my big trip. I was in Mexico earlier in the year, so kind of winding down a little bit.
So can we rent your houseboat then?
You'll have to be stuck with me or my husband if you do. You're welcome to come. We get a 6-month summer. But for insurance reasons, one of us has to be on the boat.
Got a license for a boat.
Okay, well there you go. And it's, you know, it's 75 foot long, so it's, you have to.
Yeah, I've got a 25 meter license.
Well, there you go.
How would you get that on the plane? You won't get that on the plane. 25 meters through the door, no chance.
No, I'll take the boat, Sean. I'll take the boat. But we are struggling to get anywhere booked because, as you said, Michelle, it's holiday revenge. Everybody is just, everything's just selling out. So we've left it too late, I think, I fear. Fingers crossed. And at all costs, I'm avoiding London. But Mark, you must have a holiday soon. Come on.
25 minutes, mate. I'm gone. So, yeah, I'm off to Antigua. Can't wait.
Antiguan rum.
So, yeah, and it's because it's Sandra and I's. So, Sandra and I's, that's the other 25. The reason we're going is it's me and San's 25th wedding anniversary fairly soon as well. So, yeah.
Congratulations.
It's all about the 25, isn't it? So,
and I'm right in saying that you're taking your laptop. Was that what you said earlier?
No. Funny that, isn't it? I can't find it. It will be lost shortly.
So during our mental health, I was just going to say, sorry, Sean, during our mental health course, we talked about stress and anxiety and panic. And I'm really scared about tomorrow because I go to the office and I pick up a thing called a Mac. And I have to start my business transformation from Windows to Macintosh.
Why did you choose a Mac?
Because everybody that does it says you should do it. And
are you on a Mac? Are you on a Mac, Sean?
No, I've got the Lenovo. It's a Lenovo. It's about 4 or 5 years old. So I was thinking about it. It's starting to creak a lot. So I will need to change it at some point. But it's whether I want to go.
I think as you're a video editor fiend, Sean. I think the main reason for me going Mac is I'm lucky enough to get the M1, the new one. It's just super powerful, you know, and great for you already just doing editing Camtasia stuff or Adobe stuff. It's brilliant, you know, and I think you're just gonna have to. It'd be like working like that for a while, Jim. Left and right hand. You know. But I'm so sure you're in, I'm sure
you're in control.
Yeah.
What's the word? Yeah. What's the description? Conscious incompetence.
Conscious incompetent, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas when you're working on your PC, you're in you're in unconscious competence. Because you don't think about it, you just do it and you're competent. But when I switch to a Mac, I will be in conscious incompetence.
It's a bit weird.
Sometimes.
It feels like, it feels like you've gone out with a, I don't know, you've gone out and forgotten a shoe. It's all a bit wrong, you know? But it doesn't take long. A couple of days, you'll be right.
Do you just hop around for a bit then?
You hop around feeling a bit uncomfortable, a bit exposed.
I mean, it's interesting, you know? We had dinner with...
You'll be right.
Look at the tips online.
We had dinner with some friends the other night, and there's 10 of us out, and so we took pictures to share. And most people had an iPhone, so you can airdrop them. And I had one friend, he's kind of proud of his Android, but he couldn't get any of the pictures. We couldn't airdrop them to him. And that's not a reason to have the phone, but I was just thinking about, we couldn't work out how to share them without emailing them. And they were too big to text. And I kind of feel, you know, this is the journey we go through, you know, with technology.
Time to settle down, leave.